Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, for us, 2015 has started off really well at Northeast Delta Dental. More and more individuals, citizens in New Hampshire are purchasing dental coverage on healthcare.gov or our private exchange, Delta Dental. coversme.com, and this will be your radio tease because as I introduce my guest, this is of course Above the Neck Health, and I'm a big believer, as is my guest, that you can't have good overall health without health above the neck. So we're also into Delta Vision. We have a vision product. We're also considering a hearing product. And I think one of my goals in life is to make sure that people understand the holistic view that you can't have good overall health without health above the neck. And so for us, putting aside the politics of the Affordable Care Act, and I would be the first one to say that it definitely hasn't been more affordable. I mean, we have spent literally millions of dollars to make sure that we can get connected and got connected to the exchanges now called marketplaces in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont. And each of our three different states that we cover did something differently. In Vermont, it's a state-based exchange. In New Hampshire, it's a federal state partnership, and in Maine, it was what's called a federally facilitated exchange. So we weren't able to leverage any resources from a technology perspective, and the filings were all different as well, which answers the question I know some of you have asked me offline, why were there so few insurance companies that got certified in the first year of the exchange? And that was candidly because it was such a huge effort to do so. And of course, we know in New Hampshire that several more medical carriers were added, you know, effective January 1st, which gives the citizens of New Hampshire some more options. But from a dental perspective, close to 2,000 individuals have purchased on healthcare.gov, and about 75% of those people didn't have dental coverage before. And in our business, if you have dental insurance, 90% of that population goes to the dentist. If you don't have dental coverage, only about 30%. So from an oral health perspective, it's worked for us. And then we knew healthcare.gov would be difficult to navigate in year one, so we created a private exchange called Delta Dental coversme.com. And we actually have about 5,000 people in New Hampshire that have gotten coverage through Delta Dental coversme.com. And the same statistic applies. About 75% of those people never had dental insurance before. So now they are going to the dentist, whereas before they didn't go to the dentist. Now, if you're interested, and here's a shameless plug, if you're interested in more details as to how we thought that through, you can read about that in my book, There Are No Do-Overs, which you can get in Gibson's or on Amazon.com. And the whole point of the title is there are certain huge decisions where you don't get a second opportunity. Obviously, however, we're all entitled to mistakes. I probably make as many as most people, and we learn from those. But there are certain key, huge policy decisions like getting on the exchange where you don't have a second opportunity. For my running friends, if you're listening to this on Saturday, April 4th at 9:05, don't forget there is the SEA 5K road race right here in Concord by the Department of Transportation. That starts at 10 a.m. So as you're listening to this show, you can drive up and to the Department of Transportation, register and run the SEA 5K road race, which is the second race in the Capital Air Race Series, which consists of seven races. The first one was last weekend, the Gilmington 5K, where you basically the last mile and a half you were running straight up the hill. It's kind of like a mini Mount Washington road race. So if you did that race, if you do the SEA race, you're guaranteed to have a time that's 2 to 3 minutes faster. So I encourage all of us to take care of our physical fitness and run or walk at the SCA 5K road race this Saturday, April 4th at 10 a.m. So with me is Peter Evers, who is the CEO of Riverbend Community Mental Health, and he's president and CEO since really last, since October 14th of 2013. So he's on his sort of year and a half a benchmark. We've had Peter on the show before. So, Peter, thank you for joining me on this Easter weekend, and I appreciate the fact that you've invested yourself in this great New Hampshire community and on a very important topic. So thank you, Peter, for coming in this weekend.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for inviting me.
So I kind of did the radio tease of above the neck health. And so our topic today really is the general topic of mental health and human services. So maybe you can kind of bring us back. I know when we had you on when you first joined Riverbend that you kind of described sort of kind of the evolution of mental health, to some extent as a society we have progressed in other ways maybe we haven't, but I always found it interesting, you know, how we dealt with this particular issue as far back as the 1800s. So maybe bring us back, and then I think that'll make today's discussion even that much more relevant.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, I mean, I think when you say we've made great strides, we absolutely have. And quite often when I speak about behavioral health issues, mental health, it's always worth thinking about how our society, our culture managed people with mental health. And I would say really that it's way back then in the 1850s, it was really treated as a public health issue, that people who behaved differently from a normal group were seen as a threat. So this wasn't treatment, this was maintenance. This was keeping people under lock and key in order that they would live out their lives and not be a threat to anyone else. And I think, you know, over the last 150 years, there's been the evolution of transformative care rather than maintenance care. This idea that people will recover and get well in the same way you would from any other disease or illness. And that really defines all of the directions that we move in now with treating people with mental illness, that they are a whole person, that they're capable of recovery, and that they're very much in charge of their own treatment and their destiny when it comes to making decisions about treatment and that sort of thing. Very different, very big transformation from 150 years ago. I think I mentioned last time I was here that Concord Hospital in 1970 had 2,500 inpatient residents. It has 160 today. The incidence of serious mental illness is no different in this society now than it was then or any other society. 0.9% of any given population across the world. That means that we're able to provide treatment and recovery services for the vast majority of people in their own homes and in their own communities.
Now, why were two peas on a pod? I don't know, is that an expression that they had across the pond?
I think that might be an English expression as well.
Good. Well, anyway, but that whole integration of overall health and behavioral health, and of course, that's what I've tried to do in my career at Northeast Delta Dental on the dental side, and of course, people that have bad oral health, and I'm not talking about just the cosmetic part of that. Obviously, it's a self-esteem issue. If you have bad teeth, you're gonna probably have difficulty interviewing because you lack confidence, or maybe the human resources person won't tell you this, but you're probably not going to be hired. But in your field, in terms of behavioral health, I think these statistics are startling. That people with that are afflicted with serious mental issues, mentally ill, excuse me, that they may die on average 25 years before the general population. So what a waste of human capital.
Absolutely. Potential, yeah, absolutely. And you know, the amazing thing is that one might think that when you talk about cause of death for serious mental illness, you'd think about people taking their own lives of suicide. That is not, for the most part, what kills people with serious mental illness. The really sad thing that they die from preventable diseases. And it's all about lifestyle choices. So The big killers, if you like, are congestive heart failure, a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, diabetes, cancer of the lung. Those are the four big ones. And if you think about those, they're all about lifestyle. They're all about smoking. 72% of people with schizophrenia smoke cigarettes. There's a reason for that. There's an activating or a calming influence of nicotine on on some of the symptoms of schizophrenia. Interestingly, 40% of the people who work with people with mental illness smoke as well. We have a terrible problem with smoking in our mental health community. Only 20% of the general population do. Sedentary lifestyle is another thing. We do not pay enough attention to those with serious mental illness, to their everyday exercise. I'm so glad you're talking about the races and the walks. We've got to get our population involved in moving around. And then, of course, diet is the other thing. You know, we have to pay attention to healthy lifestyle in terms of how people eat. These are the things that, unfortunately, are killing the mentally ill.
And it's interesting that this whole, it's so holistic because we're obviously a big sponsor of the Wellness Coalition in the Concord area. And of course, that's to get people out there, just as you say. So before the commercial break, I think it's important, if you could spend a couple minutes just describing what is Riverbend Community Mental Health, then we'll get into some of the issues.
Sure. Well, Riverbend, we had the privilege of celebrating our 50th year last year, which was a great celebration. We had a number of different events across Concord. People may have been involved in them. We provide community mental health services to the entire community of Concord. I think previously people have thought, oh, Riverbend just look after those seriously mentally ill people, but we have a clinic for adults and for kids. And we have school services for kids as well. So we really do reach the entire population who present with a mental illness. One in four people of our nation struggle with mental health issues at one point in their lives. So we want to be available and there for all those people, whether they're living in residential situations with us or whether we're providing intensive community-based services for those people, or in fact, if they come and see us in our clinic. And we serve around about 7,500 people in the Merrimack Valley region.
Wow, that's a large number. I didn't realize that. So if someone's listening to this and they may, either through self-reflection or a family member, could they contact Riverbend directly?
Absolutely. Our website, which is riverbendcmhc.org, gives us a list of all of the services and all of the numbers to call, depending on whether you're an adult or a child.
Great. So we're going to cultivate some of these issues after commercial break. I'll return after commercial break with Peter Evers, who is the president and CEO of Riverbend Community Mental Health. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And with me this weekend, April 4th, is Peter Evers, who is the president and CEO of Riverbend Community Mental Health. And again, just a quick reminder for my running friends, as you're jumping in the car now, the SEA race on Saturday, April 4th at 10 a.m. is at near the Department of Transportation. There's still time to go up there, sign up. It is a flat course, a lot of turns though, so it may not be a PR, personal record, or PB course, personal best course. But again, it's all about, as Peter, my guest, said earlier, it's all about wellness and participation. So we actually have many, many, many people who participate in the SCA 5K as walkers, which is also a great sport. And in fact, many of the races in the Capital Area race series have a component for walkers. So hope to see my running friends on Saturday, April 4th. And then given that April 5th, Sunday, if you're listening to this then, is a day that many people, not all, but many people are celebrating Easter. There's a day of a rest away from road races. There seems not to be any road races, you know, on Sunday, April 5th. So you can listen to the show on Sunday and kind of reflect on it. Now, Peter, obviously what's been in the news a lot is the Lufthansa situation where the co-pilot obviously had a significant mental illness. And so I think that it's important that we talk about the fact that when someone with a severe mental illness isn't going to, that's made the papers that there's violence, but there's a lot more to it than that. So maybe you can expand upon that.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Tom. It just is one of those difficult situations where we have these big media events and mass murders, which are just awful. And we all are looking for a reason and a meaning behind issues like that. And when we hear that somebody had a mental illness and were involved in this, we have to be very careful, I think, about how we talk about violent crime and mental illness, because that sort of, and one of the British newspapers this week said, "Madman in cockpit." That was the headline. It's a very stigmatizing, the use of language in mental illness is very stigmatizing to people, and it is a wound and an insult to anybody who struggles and maintains their recovery in mental health to be associated with acts like this. And we have to be careful about how we use our words. There is a study out at the moment that says that if you were able to cure all mental illness overnight, schizophrenia and bipolar depression, the acts of violence in the world would go down by about 3%. That's kind of interesting if you think about the association of mental illness and violence, because there really isn't a connection. The majority of people who live with their disease are perfectly functioning members of society who pose no risk whatsoever to society.
Yeah, thank you for getting it out. And if you... You know, what I like about your mission at Riverbend, just reading it here, is to care for the mental health of our entire community, and that means doing so by advocacy, through treatment and education, and the point that the fight against stigma and mental health never ends, because as you pointed out before the commercial break, you know, one out of four people are affected by it. So all of us probably know a family member or friend that, you know, is either quietly or, you know, overtly, you know, dealing with it. So how do we get people to be comfortable talking about it? And so, for example, in the case of that co-pilot, you know, maybe he was trying to cover it up, or maybe the physician that he saw was trying to not make a big deal of it. And had it been more transparent, you know, maybe it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, it goes to stigma. It goes to the stigma of mental health and addiction, I would throw in there, in our culture, that forces people to feel that they can't speak about issues of mental health. And when that happens, when there is a risk of doing that, which is, you know, losing a job, being labeled, and not being able to apply for certain jobs, people become quiet about that and then resistant to asking for help and treatment. And of course, if you don't get treatment, much the same, you know, as an open sore on your foot, it's not going to get better. And so we're sort of laying the foundations for people to become withdrawn and increasing the likelihood of poor outcomes with that. We have to accept, in the same way that our country has dealt with, for instance, the issue of drink driving. That I always bring this one up as a social education program. You know, a generation ago, a half ago, it was sort of a joke to have a bunch of drinks and then drive a car, and people were dying, and it took us a long time to make the connection, I think, between road deaths and alcohol. And when we actually looked at it, we found out that we had to do something in terms of social education and campaigns that said, this isn't a joke. You have to think very carefully about drinking. We have to do the same sort of thing with mental health in terms of use of language, in terms of incorporation of folks into our society, in terms of employment, in terms of all of the things that make a life that we make available for those people.
I like how you put that, social education. And I know I'm 58, and when I started my business career in the late 70s in the Boston area and then through the 80s, it was very common for people to, I worked at John Hancock, to after work, 4:30 or 5, to pop down to Copley Square. Not me. I don't drink, by the way. I don't have anything against it. It's just that I don't need the extra calories as a runner. But in any event, it was very common. People would have a couple pops, drive home. That's totally unacceptable now. So, and just think in airplanes, when I first started flying, people were smoking in the back of the darn airplane. That's totally absurd, right?
Well, the notion that the smoke wouldn't come over
right.
The last four
Well, that
seats.
And it, safety and everything else. So we do, I think, progress as a society. One of the other organizations that I'm involved with is struggling with the same thing. The Arthritis Foundation is that a lot of people with arthritis are afraid to talk about it because their employer thinks, oh my God, that means the person can't do the work. And so Whereas some of our other things like prostate cancer and breast cancer, there we celebrate it. We go on huge walks, and it's great stories, very compelling. But people with mental illness and some people with arthritis tend to keep it quiet. And I think that we've got to get that social education out there. So thank God we have you in New Hampshire to do this, Peter. So, of course, this is New Hampshire, though, since I mentioned New Hampshire. So I'm sure people will be curious as to how Riverbend Community Mental Health sustains itself, given the fact that every year we struggle with the New Hampshire budget and, you know, federal cutbacks, et cetera, et cetera. So tell us about that, and I just want to make sure that we can help you out on that as needed.
Yeah, well, I mean, the majority of our funding comes from the state and the federal government. We have a Medicaid is our principal biller, and we're able to, our great state of New Hampshire is able to bill the feds for a match for that. So it's joint funding for state and feds, and we do a lot of fundraising as well. We have incredibly generous individual donors who step up to the plate to provide those services that are over and above the basic needs that Medicaid will pay for us. We also have private insurances with the MCOs, and people may have heard about the New Hampshire Health Protection Plan, which is Medicaid expansion. We're also thankfully taking more and more people off the exchange, and so that is working. We are getting people into treatment, and we can now provide those services for people with substance abuse issues as well. So it's really a blending of funds, of donations, and grants. We've just applied for a federal grant provide primary care services within our walls. So we'll be providing the medical services as well as the behavioral health ones. We're thinking very much about diversifying the streams of revenue that come into Riverbend.
Thank you. That was very helpful. Now, you'd mentioned earlier the linkage between mental health and lifestyle, cigarette smoking, drugs, mm-hmm. and alcohol. So it seems to me it's all connected. So how do we address everything together?
Yeah. Well, the new best practice, well, it's not new, but the best practice for dealing with people who present with both mental health and addictions issues is integrated dual diagnosis treatment, IDDT. That says, listen, we're not going to wait for you to get sober before we treat your depression. As I say that, it sounds absurd because many people are, of course, drinking or using drugs to ameliorate or self-medicate themselves from the misery and the psychic pain that they're suffering from. So our programs are very much organized in a way that they can meet both of those issues and treat them at the same time. And if there's one word that describes this year's mission for Riverbend, it's integration. It's integration of health. It's integration of substance use disorders and mental health disorders so that we can treat those issues very holistically and treat the person.
Well, like I said, we're two peas in the pod, and I'm getting the holistic view on health, that you can't have good overall health without the, above the neck health. We've got to get that word out. So I have some CEO colleagues that listen on weekends, and from an employer's perspective, I know this is a minor component, but we very much encourage in our company the use of EAP, Employee Assistance Program. We actually talk about it, where we encourage people. And so beyond things like that, what else can an employer do to help deal with, this getting away from this stigma in mental health?
Well, it would be great if, what's at Riverbend, we every month or so, we just put out what services are available for the EAP. And I think it's really good to keep that in people's mind. But as an employer, it's inclusive. The word inclusive is the word really that it means. Like, be open-minded about the issues that people bring into work. They don't leave those issues at the door when they come in. And be inclusive and encourage people to be open and talk about their issues in terms of accommodations that they need and the help that they need.
And that's a great business practice, of course, because obviously they're going to be more productive at work.
Absolutely.
if they've dealt with this. So, well, thank you, Peter. We're lucky to have you in New Hampshire, and I love your mission, which is to care for the mental health of our entire community, and that means by advocacy and through treatment education. One more time, your website?
It's Riverbend cmhc.org. So www.riverbendcmhc.org.
Thank you, Peter Evers. And I didn't even say Evers to Chance, the double play combination.
Yeah,
so
right.
Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.